We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. You might think that's not unique in this world among churches, but it is. The Bible is God's truth, and that it's living, that it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's something that we need to know. We need to know what it says, what it teaches. Scripture reading this morning comes out of Deuteronomy, way up in the front end of your book. I'm going to read to you out of the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all the nations before you, and will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Your territory shall be from the wilderness to the Lebanon, and from the river to the river to the Euphrates to the west. No one shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land that you shall tread, as he promised. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commands of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today. Let us pray together. Lord, we love you. We love you. We need you. I pray, Lord, that you would move among us by the grace and power of your Holy Spirit, and that you would teach us this word, your truth. That you would so emblazon it upon our soul and heart, Lord, that we would indeed follow your teaching and be more, just a little bit more, the person of God, the people of God, the church of God that you've called us to be. Oh God, we thank you for this time together, this short little time around your word. Minister to us mightily. In your precious name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today's Father's Day. We've been saying it around, and people have been saying it to one another, and it's a day we salute godly fathers. And being a father in today's family is taking on some new qualities, new looks, new meaning in our world. Some good, some not so good, I guess. No longer are fathers seen as the stereotypical breadwinners. Oh no, we share often that job, that role with our spouse. The single income family is sort of rare in the world you and I live in. No longer are fathers seen as the leader of the home, even often spiritual leaders of the home. No longer are fathers immune from washing dishes and changing diapers and cleaning house and babysitting. Maybe that's a good thing. There have been lots of changes. As I said, some good, some not so good. One thing has not changed. And that's a father's responsibility, albeit in many cases a co-responsibility, to train and nurture his children. Train and nurture his children. Teach them to your children. Deuteronomy 11:19 says. That's a direct command from God to those of us who are fathers, specifically fathers, and again, to parents in general. What are fathers supposed to teach? Well, these words of mine, God says in verse 18. God says fathers are to teach their children what God taught them. And they are to teach these words of God with utmost seriousness. Talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. I guess the question of the day on this Father's Day to fathers and grandfathers and mothers, how good a job are we doing? How good a job are we doing teaching our children the things of God? Are we nurturing them in a way of life or in a way of death? You know, there was a news article not too long ago about a couple in Florida. They earned publicity in the news by instructing their kids on the ins and outs of the family business. However, it just seemed that the family business was armed robbery. This couple was schooling their children in the essence of the trade. How to shoot a rifle, how to shoot a pistol, how to listen to police scanners, escape routes, surveillance, survivor gear, disguises. Oh, they were good. They taught them hand-to-hand combat, even. Made them memorize the police codes. After each robbery, they were debriefed. Their mistakes were spotted. They were corrected. You know, the crazy thing about this story, and maybe the tragic part of this story, is that these parents were more serious about their training their children for armed robbery than many Christian parents are about teaching their children about life and God and eternity. We ship it off. And we've done it for a long time. And look at the world we live in. It is a product. It is a product of what we have done. Think about it. You know, we do spend an awful lot of our time teaching our children about the ways of the world. Hold mama's hand while we cross the road. You know, do what your father says. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Be careful. Those kinds of things. We spend a lot of time talking about the ways of the world and guarding against the dangers of the world, yet precious little time about teaching them about the ways of God. We teach them about the ways of the world, which is what? Good, 70, 80, 90 years maybe? We get some good time out of that. Opposed to eternity? Which is most important? Which should be first in our desire, in our drive, in our urgency? The teaching and nurture of our children is one of the most important tasks that God has given to us. And all of us who are parents know that teaching children is not easy, especially with so many competing activities in the world in which we live in today, vying for their time and for their mind, for their heart. Not to mention the gadgets that can occupy every waking moment and the technically challenges that most every parent faces. We just can't keep up with all the technical things that are going on. But can we risk the training and nurture of our children to this world we live in? We can't. Can we just sit back and let the TV and movies or this fad or that fad or Hollywood or Facebook or Twitter or TikTok? I know you may not even know what these things are, how they work, but they're there. The internet. Can we let all those things teach our children about life, about God? Can we really allow our children to be caught up in work and sports and other activities that takes them away from the church and fellowship with God's people? The church is the umbilical. It's the umbilical of the body of Christ. It may not be perfect. It isn't. It's got you and me in it. But it is God's purpose and plan for fellowship and for strength and for encouragement. And to deny it is a slap in the face of God. I believe that we need to listen to what God is saying in this passage. We need to listen to it not just on one day out of the year, or maybe two, I slip a little bit on Mother's Day as well. But we need to listen to it because we're failing in this grade. God's design is not the design that we're following in our culture and in our world. His directive to us, we are to be teachers, trainers of our children. And in this little passage, he gives us handles. He gives us truths to guide in that effort. And let me share some with you. And the first one is, you cannot teach what you do not know. You cannot teach what you do not know. Listen, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine, where? In your heart. In your heart. And in your soul. And if it's not there, it's not going anywhere else. You lay up these words of mine in your heart and your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It's right there, 11:18. I believe that we hesitate often to nurture our children in the things of God because we're maybe not sure about the things of God. Maybe we don't feel competent in talking about God or whatever problems we're having. They're not God. They're certainly not God's. We cannot teach what we do not know. And as fathers, we are to lay up God's word in our heart. We're to know it. We're to know it. And more importantly, we're to live it. It needs to show. Children, see right through the hypocrisy of parents who proclaim to be Christian, who maybe even go to church and all that kind of thing. We have our little prayers before meals, but then we live our life as if God is nowhere to be found. God says that we should not only know His words, but that we should also show His words. That's what all that binding them as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes is all about. If Jesus is in your life, if He's your number one priority, then that's going to show. If He's just a nice feeling you get once in a while, then it's not. Is He in your heart? Is He in your mind? Every parent needs to ask that question because that's where it begins. That's where it begins. We teach what we know and what we have experienced. A second little nugget that comes out of this passage is you cannot teach without committing your time and being also an example. Listen to what God says. Talking of them, these words of God that you have on as frontlets between your eyes and on your hands, that you know in your heart and in your soul, we can't teach without talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates and on your gates. That pretty well covers it all, does it not? Doesn't it? We're supposed to talk about them all the time. We're supposed to show them all the time. There's a fellow, an author, used to write a lot of Christian material. fellow named Charlie Shedd. He once told about an experience he had on an airplane. And he was seated next to some young man. They were flying, somewhere a pretty long distance. And the guy was all engrossed. The young man was all engrossed in a book, magazine that was talking about teens and children who were on drugs. And what a tragedy it was and how it was destroying their lives. He finished reading it. He closed up his magazine. Maybe somewhat forgetting where he was, he said a prayer about half out loud. He said, "Oh God, I wonder why. I suppose nobody knows." And then he added really quickly, he said, "But if a father can make a difference, I want to be that man." Well, Shed, sitting right next to him, just picked right up on that and began to ask him questions and talk with him, share with him. He was a successful businessman, burdened by the demands of his career, which took a lot out of him and a lot of time away from his family. And he was committing himself to something bigger than all of that. He said he wanted to make a difference in his children's lives. He wanted to be a good father. And that's exactly what this passage in Deuteronomy is all about. God is saying, make a difference. Make the difference. Step forward. Be the example that children need to see. Make the commitment, the time commitment, because it takes time. Make the effort to get involved. Even though, you know, you've been there, done that, have the t-shirt. Let's go again. If the need is still there, then the call is still there, and the commitment needs to be there. We don't sometimes see that. I think we see that, well, I've done my duty. You know, I taught Sunday school. I kept the nursery, or I did whatever, you know. And I'm too old. Well, me too. Me too. But that shouldn't prevent us from getting out there and doing, because the need is still there. And the call is still there. Make a difference. Make a difference. Some years ago, Jim Dobson did a study on men, on fathers. And he asked him, he said, "How much time do you spend with your child?" Oh, and I think it was something like 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day, a day. So then these researchers took those same children of those fathers, and they put a little recorder on them that just recorded their day. And they did this for several weeks, actually, different days and different over those weeks. The actual time that the fathers spent with their children was 2.7 encounters per day, 2.7 encounters lasting 10 to 15 seconds each. Where did that 15 or 20 minutes go? We thought, but we weren't. We weren't. No wonder we're losing the battle for our children's minds and our children's hearts to this world we live in. No wonder there's so much of a gap in the way they dress, in the way they act, the way they think from the ways of God. We wonder, what happened? What happened? Well, you know what happened. Is the love of God and His Word a true part of our experience? Is the love of God really burning in our soul to follow His ways, to do what He's called us to do as parents, as fathers? Is it important enough, His ways, that we would think that we should pass them on? That we should share our experience rather than let the world have them and do what it may? And oh, it's doing what it may in a big way. The teaching method of do as I say, not as I do, never did work. It certainly doesn't work today. Actions always speak louder than words. fathers, parents, grandparents, we need to think about what we're doing with our children. The teaching and nurture of our children involves our time. It involves our commitment. It involves our example. Another nugget. No child is prepared for life who hasn't been taught and nurtured toward a living relationship with God. You know, we get a look at the life God desires in Deuteronomy 11:22, where He says, if you will be careful. I like that. Our Heavenly Father is fathering us, right? If you will be careful to do all of this commandment that I command you to do. And then He spells it out. Loving the Lord your God, walking in all His ways, holding fast to Him. You hear that? Loving the Lord your God, walking in all His ways, holding fast to Him. If you will do that, carefully do that, there's going to be a blessing. There's going to be a blessing. Oh, how we need to nurture that kind of relationship. As a church, as families, we need to nurture that relationship within ourselves and within our children. And that's the greatest gift we could ever give a child, or a grandchild, or a great-grandchild, or the next-door neighbor's child. That's the greatest gift we can give. You know, shortly after the founding of Harvard in 1636, a long time ago, this statement was issued by its trustees. It said, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. Not the Harvard you know today. But that's where they started. We're to know God and Jesus Christ. Went on and said, as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. You know, just because they haven't lived up to their creed doesn't mean that we ought not try to live up to ours. Doesn't mean that we need to dig down a little deeper and maybe make some renewals, maybe try to catch up a little lost time. You know, some of us have adult children that aren't walking as we would like for them to walk, and probably that means they're not walking as God would like for them to walk in Him. Maybe we need to double down a little more. Maybe we need to pray a little harder. Maybe we need to make a little more time to speak into their life, to show them His love, His purpose. Because they're 60, 70, 80 years running out. An eternity is yet to come, is yet to come. The greatest need our children have is to learn about the love of Jesus Christ. If they know that love, then we're going to have to worry about whether they get dragged down by the temptation and despairs they're going to learn in this life. Oh yeah, they're going to have trials and they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer from wrong choices. We all do. It's a trial and error life in many ways. But they won't be lost. They will not be lost. Or in the terms of Deuteronomy, their days will be multiplied in the land as long as the heavens are above the earth. Long time. They're going to know God's promise, in other words. They're going to know God's blessing forever. Forever. And God finishes this passage with a challenge, a call. A call for a decision. He says in verse 26, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Dads, you have a premier role. A premier role. According to God. Mom, you're right in there with Him. So too, as I've shared with grandparents, and so too do I share with every one of us, whether we have children or not. We are to teach, and we are to nurture the children about us in the truths of God. It's a commitment that every one of us should make. And it isn't just a nice thing to do. It has truly life and death consequences. A choice. As God says, a blessing or a curse. But you cannot teach what you don't know. Start there. You cannot teach unless you're willing to give the time, make the commitment, and not the excuses. You cannot teach if your focus is on anything other than a living relationship with God. It is our as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, church members, it is our privilege and our blessing to nurture children in the way of God. So that as God says in verse 21, our days and the days of our children